towards it, otherwise I don't trip and fall down. Again, I want to just highlight a couple of quick things from the announcements. I know it's there, but there are some changes on next week's calendar, so you just need to be familiar. This Friday, we will be having a service at 7 p.m., a Good Friday service. I would encourage you to be here if at all possible. It's always one of my favorite services of the year. Then on Sunday morning, we will be having prayer at 6:30 a.m. And most of you are going, I always want to do Sunday morning Easter sunrise service, but we're not going to do a sunrise service, but we are going to have early morning prayer. We won't be having any prayer in the evening because everybody goes off to their families and goes to the drives all over town, and getting people back for prayer just doesn't really work on Easter. And so we're going to have prayer in the morning, and if you want to be here for prayer, I will be here. That's you don't. If you want to be here, please join me. And then also tonight, we do have a CCN broadcast at 5 o'clock, which is just an awesome broadcast on the Great Resurrection Debate. This might be something, if you have somebody who has questions about it, just who likes to debate, bring them to this. We'll just it'll be here in the sanctuary at 5 o'clock. So just those changes in our normal calendar for you. Well, let's look to today's scripture. You'll notice we are leaving the book of Proverbs for a little while, for this week and next week for sure. We're going to be focusing on the Passion Week and Easter. And let's look at the triumphal entry in Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus said to them, A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for the testimony that it gives here of your kingly nature, yet also of your servant heart. Father, help us to look into your word and see your truth. Lord, show us how to apply that truth to our lives so that we might walk closely with you this day. Father, I pray that each person who's here would be blessed by your word this morning. That each one would have that spiritual hunger satisfied within them, that spiritual food which they need for the strength of today. And Lord, I pray that your hand and anointing would be upon me, that as I preach, Lord, it would be your word which comes forth, and your truth which is laid out, that I would lay it out in a manner which is comprehensible and brings understanding and shows people how to live it and apply it to their lives. And Lord, might I do so through the infilling and overflow of your Holy Spirit and to the glory and honor of your namesake and no one else's. We pray this in Jesus' precious, most holy name. Amen. The triumphal entry. Palm Sunday. We've got our palms. We've got palms in the entryway. Why did they do this? Well, there's several reasons, and we'll get to those. The first reason that I want to share with why they did that, though, has to do with a prophecy. In Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, it says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Now, this prophecy in Zechariah, we see Jesus fulfilling here. Now, this is one of the prophecies which people have pointed out and said, well, Jesus just manipulated it. You know, he somehow made arrangements. He sent the disciples to go get that donkey, get that colt. He knew what he was doing, yes. And yes. And yes. God did cause that donkey with the foal to be there and waiting. God, Jesus did know what he was doing when he sent the disciples, that he was fulfilling this prophecy. Now, he knew it. And he did it for the express purpose of what? To fulfill the prophecy, yes. But why come on the foal of a donkey, on a colt, a young donkey which had never been ridden? Okay, first off, anybody here ever ridden a donkey or a horse or anything of that nature? And are the first time you get on one, are they generally placid and mild and calm of manner? No. But yet, this one was. Jesus sat upon it. We're not told that he, you know, rode this thing like a Bucky Bronco. He rode it stately like a king. A king on a donkey? Well, actually, yes. You see, there's a couple of things here. A king that was going to war or coming in a warlike manner would ride a war horse, a charger, or in a chariot. A vehicle of war. Is it me, this microphone? Do I need to switch to this one or what? Okay. I don't know about you, but that was bothering me. So a king that was going off to war or coming or in a warlike manner used a warlike vehicle, mode of transportation. Now, the colt of the donkey is not warlike. When the king came in peace, he would ride in a procession. He rode on a donkey, showing that peaceful intent. See, say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. It's coming gentle. It's the king, but he's coming gentle. A again in Zechariah. Rejoice, O daughter of Zion, shout, daughters of Jerusalem, see, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation. Having salvation. We don't have kings around here in our country, in America. Most of us don't have much of a clue as to what a king is and what's going on. But the king was the one who was the leader, the one who brought all good things, who brought salvation to the people, to an oppressed people. Okay, how many have seen Lord of the Rings? How many have seen enough times that they've seen it so that nobody else in this room would have had seen it, yet there would be seen it enough times? Jenna? Yeah. A few of us have seen it and read the book. There was a great trouble in the land, and people were looking, where's the king, the one who's coming to bring, to lead the troops? Not necessarily the one who does all the work himself, but without him, it just doesn't come together. And that was Aragorn. And he was the king. And he came in a warlike manner to bring salvation to the people. And that's what the type of thing that the people of Jerusalem were looking for, because they were under the heel of the Roman Empire. Herod was, quote unquote, the king, meaning that he was a puppet ruler of the emperor of Rome. His first concern wasn't for the people of Jerusalem. His first concern was for himself. His second concern was for what's going to keep him in the good graces of the emperor, which fed the first concern. And way, way, way down the line had anything to do with the people of Israel. And we have Pilate. He was the governor of Jerusalem in this section of Judea. He wasn't even Jewish. He wasn't their king. He was somebody who was put over them. They had soldiers stationed immediately adjacent to the temple to watch over, to see that the people didn't get out of hand. They collected taxes. They forced people to serve in the military. And they took what they wanted when they wanted it. And there was no recourse. Now the people didn't like this. And they wanted the king, the one to come with salvation. The one who's going to come and lead them out of this tyranny. So they're thinking, the guy coming on the war horse, the guy coming riding in the chariot, the guy coming, I'll figure it, tricked out for battle. But that's not what they got. They got the guy coming on the donkey. See, the guy coming on the donkey isn't the one who brings salvation, but yet that's what we see in the Scripture here. The guy coming on the donkey is when once that's already been accomplished. Once peace is already there and rules. We have these conflicts in Scripture where we say, but the one who's bringing salvation comes on the war horse, and yet we see that in truth, the one who brings salvation comes on the donkey. And that just confuses our little minds. At least it confuses me. The rest of you probably got this all figured out. I'm sure. But the people there at this time, they didn't. Now they're looking for him to do something and take over. And that's why just a few days later, they're so quickly able to turn on him. Because he's not satisfying their expectations of what salvation looks like. But they're expecting that salvation. And they proclaim it to everybody as he's coming into town. Let's look at Psalms chapter 18. Starting with verse 25, I believe. It says, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine upon us. With bows in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar." Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. But also we have this phrase, "With bows in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar." See, part of the procession that they would have, they had this, when they would read the Hallel, which are Psalms 113 through 118, during these high feasts, is it says to come up with these palms in your hand, waving them. And they did that. And they ended up calling these palms Hosanna. Now, Hosanna, most of you probably already know, the root word in Hebrew for Hosanna means save, or save us, pray, we pray, or save, we pray. Now, that's the root word. Yet over time it became an acclamation to the leader, to the king. Hosanna! More of, this is the one who saves us. This is the guy. It became a shout of praise instead of a cry for help. Yet that root within that was still there. Here we see the people saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." They don't know what they're saying. They think they're just saying, "Yay!" They're saying, "Save us, we pray, God." I've had people, say this word. Like, "Oh yeah, okay." Say that, and then somebody else giggles because, I said something really stupid. I didn't know what I was saying. I thought I was saying one thing, but I was really saying another. That's what I see here. The people are just saying, "Yay," and yes, when they mean that in their heart, they are. They're celebrating his arrival. They're saying, this person is worthy of acclamation. Hosanna! In the Middle Ages, they shortened it up to huzzah. What we have here is this shout of acclamation, this joy, this hollering out, saying, "Save us." And the branches that they waved, the palms, became known as Hosannas. And the procession became known as Hosanna. And they did Hosannas as Jesus came in to the city. They waved the palms, they cut them, and they threw them on the ground, and he walked on, and they called, "Hosanna to the Son of David," recognizing his kingship. He comes from the kingly line. Now, when crowds get together, they're not drawing, precise definitions and lines. So he says, "This guy, Hosanna, he's from the kingly line." They're like, "Oh, the king." They're not saying, "Oh, yes, he's descended from kings. We need to be glad that he's coming into town, but he'll never be king." No, they're exactly hoping that he's going to be king and get rid of the Roman rulers. Well, wouldn't the rulers and people get upset? Yeah, they did. They show their level of dissatisfaction with this on Good Friday. But you don't wade into a crowd of people yelling and celebrating somebody and try to arrest them. That's a good way to come up short. No. So here he is, Jesus coming into this town. And they're yelling, they're recognizing his kingly nature, that he is the king. Now, the problem that you and I have is, again, coming up with this concept of king. The king is the one to whom you owe all allegiance. If he says, "Go die for me," you say, "Thank you," with gratitude. That is the king. How may I die for you, my king? How may I serve you? These people, they see that. And they say, "How can we die for you, our king? How can we..." And he's not saying, he says, no, "I'm going to die for you." And they're like, "Hold it, I don't understand this." Now we've gotten into this whole servant mentality about Christ. We know that He is our servant. He has come to save us, to do for us, to do that which we can't do for ourselves. We've gotten almost a sense of entitlement about it. Yes, the King of the universe, the God in heaven, He does what I want. He takes care of me. Therefore, I must be very, very important. True. Each and every one of us is very, very important. We're made in God's image. God loves us. That's why He went to the cross. But we need to combine these two. See, the people on this day in Jerusalem are having difficulty getting their arms around the concept of the servant going to the cross to die on their behalf. The king that sacrifices himself for them. See, the king orders you around to go do it for you. He didn't do that. Because none other was able to do the task, so he did it. That sacrificial kingship wasn't something that they'd ever seen before. We, on the other hand, we have problems getting our arms around that concept. We're all about this. Yeah, take care of me. Do it for me. Let me. I'll sit back here. You go and do it. Yeah, God. We need to combine these two. Our King. "How may I die for you? How may I serve you? Hosanna!" Yes, celebration, but you come to save? Awesome! We really need to get our arms around both of these. We're going to see Good Friday. He dies on our behalf, but He comes as our King. He is indeed the King. He is both. And we see that Easter morning. In truth, the fact, the resurrected Lord. But when we look to Jesus, we need to see more than our Savior. We need to see our Lord, our King, and our Savior. He is both. We need to treat Him as such. We need to relate to Him in such. So this morning and this day, as we remember that Palm Sunday some 2,000 years ago, where Jesus was received as the King that brings salvation, that we receive Him as King, as Lord in our lives. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You came as the Son. That You came as King. That You brought salvation through the way of peace, riding on the colt,
foal of a donkey.
Lord, you showed your lordship over nature by riding on this new foal that had never been ridden. You show your kingship over all by how you can have the people shouting celebration, yet at the same time shouting for their need for salvation. Hosanna, Lord. Hosanna, Lord. Save us, we pray. And yet at the same time, glory to you. It means both. It's so awesome. Lord, you caused it to be that way. And yet you come in peace, seeking to bring peace. Lord, bring peace to our lives, our hearts, as we receive you as both Lord and Savior. For we do pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.